Welcome to Gravel Notes with David Evans. And so, off to Australia we go for the final round of this year's World Rally Championship. I'm sorry to say I'm alone this afternoon. No Colin Clark this time. I didn't actually leave him in the hire car park in Spain. For those of you who were listening last week, we had some issues getting in there. I was sorely tempted to leave him there, but we did. We made it out and we're back. And Colin is actually already in Australia working on another event, a Targa event this weekend. But yeah, let's look ahead to Australia. It's easy to see this trip to Coffs Harbour as a bit of a dead rubber, given that Tanak won the championship so spectacularly in Spain last time out. But actually, it's anything but. There is still plenty to fight for. You know, that sounds like the sort of thing that promoters say all the time, doesn't it, when there's not a lot going on in the championship. But actually, there really is. You know, we have a very interesting fight for the Manufacturers Championship. This could be Hyundai's big moment. You know, they've been in the World Rally Championship since 2014. Obviously, there was the MSD program before that, but as the current in the current form that they are now, they've been around since 2014, and they are now on the verge of their first ever world title. They go to Australia 18 points ahead of Toyota. Now, I've done some maths, so I'm going to talk you through this very quickly before I forget it. I have written some numbers down, but now I can't actually understand them. So if we imagine 18 points is the gap between Hyundai and Toyota, if Toyota score a 1-2, that is the best result they can glean from the event. Obviously, only they enter three crews, the top two score points for manufacturers. That would give them 43 points, 25 for the win, 18 for second. Don't forget, power stage points don't count for manufacturers. That is 43 points. If Hyundai didn't score at all, that would obviously Toyota would then be champions. If Toyota scores 43 points for first and second, and Hyundai are the next best, third and fourth, by my reckoning, that gives them 27 points. 43 minus 27 is 16. 18 minus 16 is 2. That means Hyundai is still world champions by 2 points. Did you understand that? I'm not sure if that was terribly clear, but basically, Toyota, all guns blazing, first and second, Hyundai, third and fourth, Hyundai, still world champions. Now, I didn't actually manage to record any of this audio, but I spoke to Jari Matti Latvala last night for quite a long time before he got on the plane for the long trip south. And he made it quite clear, you know, they have nothing to lose at Toyota. They are going absolutely hell for leather to win the rally. Jari Matti, it's a special one. Obviously, you know, I can't remember when it was, the last time was that he didn't win a round of the championship. It was a very long time ago. And obviously last year, he only just managed to win Australia as his only victory of the year. He desperately wants to win this year. It's been a long time. I'm just frantically rifling through my notes, and the last time he didn't win a round of the championship was 2007. That's 12 years ago. Huge incentive for Jari Matti to win. Huge incentive for Chris Meek to win. The big question for me is Tanak. You know, where is Oit Tanak's frame of mind going into this last round? He is world champion. He won his championship with Toyota. He is moving to Hyundai. If Toyota don't perform terribly well, Hyundai will be champion. We've just been through all of those numbers. So Toyota could lose the championship and Tanak could move, take his number one, his world championship, to the world champion manufacturer team. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, you could really seriously overthink this and begin to think, you know, will Tanak engage in some kind of tactics or something to try and slow down to essentially take the manufacturer championship away from Toyota? Of course he won't. None of that. You know, he'll get in that car and he will want to end the season with yet another victory, because we have a long off season. We don't have as long as off season as Formula One, but we have, you know, 6 weeks or something between Australia and Monte Carlo at the start of next year. The best way to go into that long off season, 6 week or 7 week off season, is on the back of a victory. Of course it is. You know, you're only as good as your last result. So everybody wants to win Australia. Everybody wants to win this final round. So manufacturers, very interesting. Lots to look forward to. Lots for the boys to do. In terms of Drivers' Championship, as we said, Tanak done it. Forget it. It's all over. Is anybody interested in silver and bronze? I'm not sure. Let's imagine they are. Okay, so it's a great fight. 10 points between Sebastien Ogier currently in third and Thierry Neuville in second. So that'll be an interesting, a very exciting one. But really, for me, the very, very exciting one is further down the leaderboard. Esa Pekka Lappi is in 10th place in the Drivers' Championship right now on 83 points. He could rocket straight up into 4th place. It's quite unlikely. But the difference between him in 10th and Mikkelsen and Elvin Evans in 4th, joint 4th, is only 19 points. Quick bit of mental maths there. 19. Mikkelsen and Elvin are on 102. It is very close all the way down the top 10. Mikkelsen obviously is relying on everybody else to have issues and to fall foul of Rally Australia, because surprisingly enough, he's not going. That was one of the surprise bits of news from last week from Hyundai, was that they changed their entry, obviously. They took out Mikkelsen, they put in Craig Breen. Fantastic news for Irish fans, not such good for Norwegian fans. I have to say, I was surprised. Sordo, I could imagine, would miss Australia. Mikkelsen, for me, is the big guy to go to Australia. We have seen him. It's the best rally that the guy does every year. Remember 2016? Final day shootout between him and Sebastien Ogier, both in Volkswagen Polos. Mikkelsen beat him, fair and square. And in those days, you know, that just didn't happen for Ogier. And then the next year, he came, I think, was it not his first drive in a Hyundai? And he was leading, and then he had a puncture, and he lost. He potentially would have won in 17 in the Hyundai. I don't know what it is for Mikkelsen in Australia, but something just clicks. He really works well with the profile of the stages and everything. So to leave him at home, for me, is a big call from Andrea Adamo. But, you know, Adamo hasn't, as we've discussed earlier, you know, he hasn't shied away from these big calls. But we'll just see if that one pays off. It's going to be an interesting one. But as I say, great, fantastic opportunity for Craig Breen. Breeny was right there in the thick of the fight for a win in Australia last year. And he's told us, you know, you've read in the pages of Motorsport News and Autosport that Craig wants to go back and right some of the wrongs from last year. You know, I think he had a puncture, was it Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning? And, you know, the event slipped away from him. But he's another guy that can go really, really well in New South Wales. So we'll see plenty from him. But as I say, that battle further down the top 10 is going to be a very, very interesting one. Elvin Evans, Chris Meek, Latvala, and Teemu Suninen and Danny Sordo all could move up to fourth. I'd have to say, there is, you know, Elvin is in pole position. He's on 102 with Mikkelsen. Meek is 4 points behind him. Latvala 4 points behind him. And then Teemu and Danny are 5 points behind Latvala. So it'll be, for me, it's a race between Latvala, Meek and Elvin for fourth place, if anybody cares about fourth place. Having already said that nobody really cares too much about second or third, it's a fair assumption that not many people care about fourth. Now, Coffs Harbour. Quite possibly the WRC's last ever visit to that part of New South Wales. How do we feel about that? I have to say I am actually quite sad now. It's an event, I think we've been there 5 years now. I didn't like it to start with. It was much too small. It really is a very small town with a very small town feel. But the event came in and it took over the place. It absolutely rules that town for a week. You know, every restaurant is absolutely behind it. It's a really nice atmosphere about the place now. But it's not big enough. It's just not. There's not enough there. There's not enough people. And this has been the issue for Rally Australia. They haven't been able to find anywhere else in New South Wales to replace Coffs Harbour. So that's cost them their round of the championship. There's nothing to say that Australia won't be back in 2021. Of course, next year in 2020, we're going over to Tasman, back to Auckland for Rally New Zealand, which I have to say is even better news for me, because I absolutely love Rally Australia. Rally New Zealand. We haven't been there since 2012. And some amazing stages are waiting for us over there. What about the route for this week? There's no major changes from what I can see. There's two new stages on Saturday morning, North Bank and Utungan. But otherwise, it's pretty much what we've seen. There's the small change to the start of the power stage on Sunday, the classic wedding bell stage. Sunday is a big day. 80 kilometers. So what's that? That's 50 odd miles, 45, 50 miles. So it's, you know, it's a very worthwhile Sunday, certainly worth staying up for. And entry wise, you know, Australia just doesn't get the biggest entries, does it? It's not around, obviously it's not a round of juniors. We saw that sorted out in Wales. There's not many R5 cars going. We have got one WRC2 Pro car. That's Jan Kopecky going. Interesting fight between Pierre-Louis Loubet and Benito Guerra for WRC2. That'll be interesting. But, I mean, there's two of the other guys have withdrawn. So we've only got, actually, quite possibly just two WRC2 cars. So, you know, it's not the biggest entry. But there is interest further down the entry with Harry Bates, Molly Taylor and Lewis Bates going from the Australian Championship. The Harry and Lewis, obviously son of legendary Australian driver Neil Bates, legendary Toyota driver from Australia Neil Bates, they're running their AP4 cars. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fare against the R5 regulars, the people like Kopecky and Loubet and Guerra. And the other guy that, you know, I am really looking forward to seeing, and I've saved the best to last here, is Hayden Paddon. Fantastic to see Hayden and John Kinnard back in a World Rally car again. They are the third M Sport Ford World Rally Team entry. I've got to say, I'm a big fan of Hayden. You know, I think he was very hard done by Hyundai. You know, very, very unfortunate in Finland that he had that testing accident, which ruled him out of the start there. Difficult event in Wales, you know, to jump into an R5 car that he'd never driven before. Not a lot of testing. It wasn't easy. But I just hope that Hayden can really show everybody what he's capable of and really play himself into the driver market for next year. And we should just touch on that driver market now. Obviously, we talked a lot about Tanak moving to Hyundai. In the last week, we've seen Alvin Evans out to Finland to talk to Tommy Mäkinen and Kai Lindström and the Toyota Gazoo Racing team out there about moving from M Sport to Toyota for next year. Who else is in the frame? There was some speculation about Thierry Neuville. It was absolutely erroneous, and it was a very innocent mistake that led to some of that speculation. Thierry wasn't there. Sebastien Ogier, will he be there? Will he test the car? Can he get out of the Citroën deal? Who knows? You know, there is, everything is possible. We've seen that before. You know, we've seen drivers have protracted contractual arguments through the winter season. Obviously, Richard Burns, you know, when he left Subaru at the end of 2001 for 2002, he was a world champion with Subaru, moved to Peugeot for 2002, and that went to the High Court. You know, it was a very, very big deal. So we've seen that kind of thing happen. It can happen. The question for me is, you know, does Ogier, does he want to move? We've seen some good development from the Citroën. What happened in Spain was unfortunate. You know, it was a freak thing. The pace that we saw from the car on the tarmac showed that they had made steps forward from Germany. The aero that we've seen in the pre-event test there shows again that they're making great strides towards next year. It's a tricky one, isn't it? You know, what do you do? You've got 1 year of your contract, of your career left. Do you jump into a massive unknown and join Toyota, where, you know, the car, when he tested it in 2016, you know, the car's obviously moved on a huge amount since then, but he didn't like the car and he was quite vocal about the fact that the car was difficult to drive. So what do? Do you chuck everything in with Toyota and gamble, essentially, or do you stay with a slightly safer bet with Citroën? It's a very, very difficult one, and it'll be really interesting to see what he does. Obviously, Sebastian's wife was quite vocal on social media as well. It was quite entertaining to see her thoughts about the car and the team. Probably best, the less said about that, the better. But, you know, it hasn't been a really easy time for Citroën in Spain. But now, you know, they have the chance. Ogier will be, you know, we talked, who cares about second and third? Of course, Ogier wants to finish second. You know, second is better than third, and it would put another one over his arch rival Thierry. So, yeah, let's see what happens. And for me, it's difficult. You know, who leads the Toyota team now? You've got Chris Meek there. You've got Jari-Matti Latvala there. We know Kalle Rovanperä has signed for next year. That is beyond question. Who else do you take? I would imagine that those guys have got to be thinking about the potential for rotating drivers in the way that Hyundai has this year. You've got someone like Chris Meek, who has a superb record and is very, very quick in places like Germany. You know, Jari Matti, not so quick in Germany. So there are these events where you could mix and match the drivers. You could mix and match Latvala and Meek. When I spoke to Jari Matti yesterday, he still hadn't heard. He still wasn't any clearer about what the future holds for him. Coming out of Spain, GB in Spain, there was a slightly stronger feeling for Chris to stay in the team. But we don't know. We don't know what is going on in Pupala at the moment in Finland around Jyväskylä, where Toyota's based. I'm sure there's lots of talk, there's lots of debate. And after Australia, we will find out more, undoubtedly. It would be, for me, very big news for Ogier to leave Citroën. But, you know, this year we're not unused to big news, are we? You know, with this move from Tanak going to Hyundai, that really kind of caught us all by surprise. Everybody expected him to stay where he was. He's made the leap, so let's see. But how would we feel about Alvin Evans leaving M Sport? You know, he spent his entire professional career at M Sport. It's a big call, isn't it? A very big call, but I feel he could do a really good job with Toyota. He's super consistent, and, you know, let's not forget, he is very, very quick. Should have won Corsica this year and had the pace after three rallies out. Was right at the front in Wales again. Let's see. That's about it from me for now. I look forward to speaking to you after Australia. Enjoy the final round.